Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya!
I just want to win, man. I just want to have fun. I want to win down the line, man. It's got to be fun. We just got to have fun doing this thing, man. It's, you know, I look at all these other teams and guys are jumping on the court and, you know, guys are moving the ball. Guys are being solid, helping each other on defense. Guys are, you know, genuine happy for each other. When I look at this team, I don't see that.
All right, hour three of the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI. That was Marcus Morris last night after the Celtics lost to the LA Clippers. Disgusting loss, unacceptable loss. I can't express how disappointed I am in this team, in Kyrie Irving, in Brad Stevens. I think this starts with Kyrie Irving, doesn't end there. But if your best player, we just talked about Tom Brady and the leadership, and we heard Julian Edelman talking about the leadership exhibited by Brady. You cannot overstate the importance of the leadership exhibited by your best player, and it hasn't been up to snuff from Kyrie Irving. Now, it's not just Irving. We talked earlier about Rozier and Brown, but I also think at this point you have to put Brad Stevens in the spotlight and say, this is not good enough, Brad. You are not getting it done, and it is almost the All-Star break, which we know isn't the halfway point. It's beyond the halfway point in the season. This can't be going on at this juncture. You should be hitting your stride. You should be the team that we think you're capable of being, or at least closer to that than this. This is almost a disaster. Almost.
It's getting towards disaster territory, yeah. Considering where the expectations were for this team.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. You have to look at Brad and go, Brad, what are you doing here? Because we've looked at it from the beginning of the season. We started saying in December, okay, you can start looking at Brad here, give it a little bit while longer. He's got to start figuring this out. But it has not been great decision-making from Brad Stevens, and he's seemingly lost somewhat of some control over this team.
We going there?
A little bit.
A little bit. I think we're going there a little bit.
We might already be there when you consider things like what Marcus Morris said. We're not having fun anymore. Brad, you're the leader of the team because you're the coach. It's kind of your responsibility to make sure they're on the same page and going forward together, and clearly they're not. And I got to look at the head coach and say, one of your major responsibilities is make sure we get the most out of these guys, and you're not doing that right now.
Or just,
and I'm not advocating for Brad Stevens to be fired or anything that. Absolutely not. But you have to start looking at him in this light. And you have to look at some of the decisions they've made in terms of pushing too hard and too fast with Gordon Hayward and the effect that that's had on this team. The rotation surrounding Hayward and Jaylen Brown. You got to look at all that stuff. And yeah, Brad should be absolutely in the spotlight with Kyrie Irving.
It's as simple as this. He has not managed the people working for him well enough. He has not managed them well enough. There is no way there should be these kinds of issues, these kinds of chemistry issues. We're not having fun. That doesn't mean Brad's working us too hard at practice and we have to run too many sprints. That's not what this is. This is, there's some a-holes in the locker room, people with egos, people not on the same page, and I hate dealing with it. I hate being surrounded with that kind of tension that exists. Whatever it is, it's in there, it's existing, and it's not working, it's not helping. I mean, this team is way too talented to be like this, middle of the pack, average. This is not an average roster from
the
talent.
East.
No.
You're below it. If you want to look at the pack as being teams that make the playoffs and everyone else that doesn't make the playoffs, they're not even in the pack. They're below average in that pack.
There is no way this late in the season Brad Stevens should be having these kinds of chemistry issues. It just shouldn't be part of the dynamic of this team. I get it. Some people are harder to deal with. Look, hey, there's no Kevin Garnett on this team. Kevin Garnett, like Tom Brady, Kevin Garnett was sort of like Tom Brady and Willie McGinnis mixed together. Nobody effed with him. And he had the work ethic. He had the determination, the mental toughness, all of those things. There's none of that on this team. Kyrie Irving's not that. And Garnett was also one of the best players, maybe the best player on the team.
He was the best player.
He was a legend. So that's after he carried more weight. They have a big issue because Kyrie Irving, the best player, is struggling leading this team, to put it mildly, and it is really affecting people, really affecting the guys like Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, the hang-your-head guys. It is really affecting them, and I don't know how you fix it, and clearly Brad Stevens hasn't figured out how to fix it because this has gone on way too long.
When's Kyrie ever really been a leader? When's he ever really been asked to lead a team? Wasn't it Duke? How many games did he play? Six?
Yeah.
Certainly wasn't it Duke. Really wasn't not in his rookie season.
Oh, yeah. Rookie be the leader? That's
no.
Not
bad, bad Cleveland team for a couple of years.
How many years did he play on Cleveland before LeBron?
Then a real leader shows up. LeBron's a real leader. May not agree with everything he does along the way, but he is a true leader.
He tries.
He works his ass off harder than most. He's not quite like Garnett, where I don't remember seeing Garnett straight up take plays off. I've seen LeBron take plays off, but you know what? It's okay. Why? Because you're busting your ass more than anyone else. You're playing more than anybody else.
Yeah, but you know what? I feel like LeBron James's downfall or his warts really weren't about leadership, really didn't affect leadership. You know what I mean? I mean, his warts were, he went and hid in the fourth quarter of a close game. That's not really, I mean, guys would, they would be disappointed by that and not respect that, but he's so good, I felt like that was something, that was more like a personal issue that he had to overcome because he was so good. And when you talk about work ethic and how you treat teammates, I don't know. I mean, LeBron still has his issues there. See the trade deadline mess that he created for the Lakers. But when he's got a team that he's engaged with, that he knows could be a championship kind of team, I feel like he's a pretty good leader in that regard.
LeBron?
Yeah. If you put LeBron where Kyrie is, and these are the guys we're going to try to win a championship with, I feel like he'd be a good leader for that group.
Yeah, I do. Far better than Kyrie.
Yeah. Kyrie, I don't know what his problem is, but it's not working. And I feel like if it was Jaylen Brown who's really dragging this team down, or Rozier, they'd be gone. They'd be traded. Ainge would have traded them. I don't think he can trade Kyrie. He needs that talent. He knows that. So you're trying to work with it. But Brad Stevens hasn't been. I mean, you got to figure something out.
Well, I mean, Gordon Hayward's dragging the team down. I'm not trying to be disrespectful towards Gordon Hayward.
Disrespectful? He's not playing well.
He's not playing well. He's coming off a major injury, and we've heard from other people that have gone through the similar thing. Like Paul George, year two, you're back, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe? He said it took him 2 years to get back to where he's going, and he also had the benefit of being able to play a couple games at the end of that season just to kind of start to figure it out and then have a whole summer to get confident again. Hayward never had that opportunity to play a couple of games, even though it was bandied about that he might. Never had that opportunity just to play a couple of games and shake a little bit of that rust off and maybe gain some confidence in his ability off that leg. But you got to look at Brad, too, and say, stop forcing us. It's not here. Not saying sit him down and just put him on ice for the rest of the season because he's not quite the player he was before, but you should have slowed this down. You went too hard, too fast with this guy. You tried to rely on him too much. And it was also to the detriment of the younger guys who you wanted to see continue to develop.
I will say that I'm going to reserve my final judgments on this team for after the playoff run. We saw with the Patriots, they looked bad. They lose in Miami in heartbreaking fashion, pathetic fashion. They lose to Pittsburgh on the road, 3-5 on the road, didn't look good.
Yeah, but we also knew they had a pedigree to deal with it.
Sure. But I'm still going to look, the Celtics, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Brad Stevens is a good coach. They've got a lot of talent. Kyrie has never played a playoff game for the Celtics. Let's see what happens. And then if they go out in the first round or the second round, well, then we'll release the hounds. And I'll be, you know, on fire about this whole situation. Until then, though, I will give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, I'm still going to critique. We're going to do that because it looks really bad right now. Unacceptably bad, but I will say I won't make final conclusions. If they don't make the Eastern Conference Finals, then I'll start making all kinds of conclusions. I'll start questioning all kinds of people and things and decisions. Until then, though, I will still wait and see because I think that's what needs to happen with this team. They've proven enough where I will let them go into the playoffs and see. and then we'll make some conclusions.
Yeah, but they're only making it harder for themselves.
Well, I'm going to ask you this right now. What do they do? What do you do right now? What do you do if you're Danny Ainge and you're looking for a consultant to come in and help with this situation he asks you? What are you going to do? What do you do?
I don't know. That's part of the problem, because it's not like you can go make a trade right now. You can maybe hope DeAndre Jordan gets bought out and then you pay him. But does that really help you?
It's just so
does
hard.
Does it really, really help you?
It doesn't. Not really. It doesn't. You're trying to coddle Kyrie because there's still the whole recruiting. You remember Danny Ainge? What was his comments the other day?
We're not. I thought we were married, but we're not married. We're engaged.
I don't think he said, I thought we were married.
Okay, whatever. So we're not married, but we're engaged.
Yeah.
And the way he sees it, they'll be married on July 1st.
Okay. So he's still trying to, you know, not piss off Kyrie so that this goes down. They want this wedding to happen. So there's that element. You're still trying to sort of recruit the guy. So you can, maybe you can't coach him exactly the way you should. He needs to be coached. You can't do certain things because you don't want him to leave. So there's that dynamic. That's not easy. It's not easy what Brad's dealing with, but he's still not doing a good enough job. I mean, I don't know what you do. Do you have some kind of intervention? I mean, he's going to the All-Star game.
I remember a couple of weeks, was it December? They had like 8 players-only meetings. Brad, step in.
The players can't figure this out. It's got to be somebody above
players
them.
Cannot
They're not
figure
figuring
it out.
They haven't figured
They're
it out.
They're not on the same page, and it's your job. I just put more pressure on Brad to make sure. You know what? I don't care what they say or do. You've proven that you're a pretty good coach. You took a pretty average team far twice in the playoffs. Twice. Do you? My faith is more in you than it is in Kyrie.
I'm going to start throwing some stuff out there, and you can tell me if it's ridiculous.
Sure,
Out there. You know, if you're Brad Stevens, take the team if you have an off day or something, take the team to the movies. Take the team to do something, some team building. Bring in some Celtics legends, Danny. Bring in somebody. Talk to them. Talk to Kyrie one-on-one. Set up a lunch. I don't care what it is. Come in and play dodgeball. I mean, you've got to change something up. They're not having fun. They're pissed off at each other. There's tension everywhere. You've got to do something to ease that tension. Maybe these are all stupid suggestions.
No.
You've got to do something, I think. You can't keep doing what you're doing.
Well, the first thing you do is you call Bill Belichick, if you're Brad Stevens, and say, you were dealing with a quasi-mutiny, it seemed like, from the outside looking in, after last year's Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You guys erased it all away, came together as a unit. What was the most important step in that process?
Right.
Because I need to learn how to do that, because I'm dealing with a quasi-mutiny on my hands with guys that aren't getting along, aren't playing together, aren't on the same page, and there's a distraction, whatever that distraction is. What do I need to do as a head coach of an organization to get them to forget about the past and move forward together as a unit? The best person to call for that is Bill Belichick.
Sure. Call Bill Belichick. Anything you can think of. You know, you get a nice day. Again, it could be ridiculous. Take them out and play a playground game in Cambridge. I don't care. Anything that...
No, because I'll kill them if someone breaks their foot in a playground game in Cambridge.
Well, I know, but maybe it's more of a practice. I don't know. Try to reignite their love for the game. I mean, they need to find a way, not just within the locker room. They're not trying hard enough. Between the second and third quarter and their defensive efforts, it's not good enough. So you need to find a way to get them to play 60 minutes, Bill Belichick. Yeah, I don't know. But they play defense early and they play defense late in games. That's a classic. I mean, that's what you see in pickup games. You don't want to play. You can't play defense the whole time because you get tired. But when the game's on the line, you try to shut the other guy down so you can hopefully win. These are pros.
A big difference between last year's team and this year's team is this year they're having done to them what they used to do to teams last year. They could be down 15 and they weren't out of that game. Now they're up 18. Or they're up 28 and they lose that game. Last year, they didn't play great coming out of the second half, the beginning of the third quarter. They're worse now. There's fundamental flaws with this team that none of us saw coming. Absolutely none of us saw coming.
Again, and I think we've brought this up before, and I'm going to say this again. There is a chance in the playoffs, especially in basketball. I mean, the NBA playoffs is like a second season.
Yeah.
So you can kind of find a way to, here we go. Do we think they're going to lose in the first round? I mean, who is the 6 seed right now if they're the 5 seed? I would hope they get above 5 when this is all said and done. You want to pull up those standings right now? I'm just saying it is possible to kind of go through a malaise or be in sort of a slump in the playoffs and come out of it in the playoffs. Remember the 08 Celtics? They couldn't win a road game. I mean, they were going through a thing where they couldn't win a road game in the playoffs. And they, within the playoffs, were able to come out of that.
They go to 7 with the Hawks.
The Hawks. This is one of the greatest Celtics teams ever. The 8th-seeded Hawks. They go to 7.
They didn't figure it out until the Eastern Conference Finals against the Pistons.
Right.
They didn't.
So,
but if you look at it right now, your Eastern Conference standings are from 1 to 8. Milwaukee, Toronto, Indiana, Philly, Boston, Brooklyn.
All right, so you get Brooklyn in the first round right now. There's no way that's
Charlotte and Miami. That's what finishes it off. Brooklyn, you should sweep them away without any problem.
I'm just saying the NBA playoffs, it's such a long stretch of games. It is a different season. You can kind of still figure yourself out in the playoffs. So,
but you'd play Philly in the first round. Play the 4 seed.
That's right.
So you'd play Philly. You wouldn't play Brooklyn.
That's true. I totally screw that up.
Then you'd have to go on the road conceivably in every series. If you line it up with how the standings are, you'd have to go on the road to Philly. You'd have to go on the road to Toronto. You'd have to go on the road to Milwaukee. Do you like any of those propositions?
No, but I'm still saying with the talent that they put on display enough of the time, occasionally, there's still talent there. I would wait and see. That's why I'm withholding all my final judgments until after this playoff run, and then I'll make some declarations, because I just think this team, the talent is there, and I still think the hardest thing to do is get the talent. That's the hardest thing to do. It's nice to play hard. You need all of it, essentially, to win the championship. But the hardest thing to do is get the talent. It's easier to find high-motor guys than guys with elite talent like Kyrie. That's why I don't think Danny trades him, despite what this is going on.
No, I think he desperately wants him here. Clearly, he's been working it this whole time, but what do you do surrounding him? You know,
it's tough because unless you can get a guy that's a better leader and a better player. I mean, how many of those league are there?
Then does Kyrie go into a shell because he wanted to be the guy, and now all of a sudden you brought in this other guy?
Right.
He wanted to be the guy. He wanted to be the leader of a team. He wanted to be the superstar focal point for a team and win a championship that way.
Yeah.
He's got what he wants right now. He has exactly the situation he supposedly wanted right now. He's just not that guy. He thinks he is. He is not that guy.
This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
It's Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. Call the show at 401-737-1287.
All right, as the voice just said, 401-737-1287 is the phone number. Or you can text 37937. I'm not going to say that we're going to learn a lot about the Celtics, or they're going to tell us what kind of team they are in the next stretch of games here, because we said that about the Patriots. They then lost to the Dolphins and Steelers, and that told us nothing about what the team actually was. But I will say that the Celtics have a big opportunity coming up in the next week. Okay, here are their next 5 games.
Shoot.
At Philadelphia.
Okay.
Then the following day, at home against the Pistons. Then they have a layoff. Then they're at Milwaukee, at Chicago, and at Toronto. So between Tuesday, February 12th, and Tuesday, February 26th, 2 weeks, 5 games, 4 on the road, big games.
With an all-star break in the middle.
So it breaks it up a little bit. They have all-star weekend in there, but there's still big 5 games in front of them.
This is very important, obviously, for positioning in the East.
Positioning and just it's morale.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we were talking about with the Patriots in terms of home field advantage. You need to make sure you're positioned correctly within the conference to maximize your opportunity for a Super Bowl. That's what they have to do here. Celtics have to start beating these teams and gaining on them in the Eastern Conference to try and slide up to the 3. Can't be the five. It's you're making it so much harder being the five as opposed to the three. And you know what? This isn't the Eastern Conference of last year or the year before where it's just dreadful. And LeBron James can walk in as the sixth seed and say, I'm still going to the finals anyway. I don't care. Doesn't matter.
Tuesday night, February 12th at Philadelphia will be a big, massive game for them. That's a big game.
Yeah.
Philadelphia's a team that you've played well against. They've got these new pieces.
9 days later, you're going to Milwaukee.
Yep.
That's a huge game too.
Yep. It's a big game against Philly and then against the Pistons. So they'll get a little bit of it could be a big difference how they go into the All-Star break. And these are big games. Not going to define what this team is or what they'll be, but they're big games. And they have an opportunity here to really sort of right things. If they wanted to use last night and spend today and tomorrow trying to right some of their mindsets or whatever you want to call it within that locker room, that's when you do it, because you got a big test on Tuesday. And that's a good opportunity to show some mental resolve there, what you are right now, how you responded to getting booed off your own floor.
Deservedly so.
Yes.
Deservedly so.
I'm glad they booed him. They should have booed him. I loved it.
They deserved it. I love when a home crowd deservedly boos the home team. And the Celtics earned that reception from the audience. They earned it. You don't lose dog crap games like that when you have a massive lead to a bad team.
And I didn't really have a problem with them not doing anything at the trade deadline, because I don't think that's what would heal what's going on here. It's within the what they have in the locker room right now is, from a talent perspective, their best situation. I think Danny still thinks that they can figure out how to coexist. I mean, I can't believe I'm even saying that, but I think he thinks that there's still something there. It's just tension right now. It's tense, and it's unacceptable. How they've played is unacceptable at this point in the season. Unacceptable. From Gordon Hayward through everybody else. Injuries.
Basically with the exception of two people. I mean, Kyrie's been very good. They probably wouldn't be where they are without him.
Yeah.
And Marcus Morris. He's been very good and consistent for the most part.
Well, I'm not really – I've liked the way Marcus Smart has played.
Yeah, he's played very well.
How he shot the ball. I mean, that's been a
– He's had his moments, though.
He's had his moments.
He's very streaky, and sometimes he's unbelievable, and other times he's, what the hell is this guy doing?
But this is a situation where you have a kid in school that's one of the smartest kids, gets high grades, high test scores, but doesn't get the grades because he doesn't care, he doesn't try. You're just wasting talent, and it's so frustrating because the talent is there, and the talent is the most difficult thing to get when you're an NBA team. I mean, look at all the other Eastern Conference teams. Look what they did at the deadline.
Yeah, but no, see, I like what the other teams did. I like what Philly did and Toronto and Milwaukee. They all made interesting moves that did help their team get better. But none of those moves put them over the top. Not a single one of those moves put any of those teams over the top in terms of winning an NBA title. It helped them to get to the NBA Finals. None of those moves did that, which is why I actually respect Ainge for not trying to get into that market with those guys. Save your assets. Use them for the summer when there's a lot more available and a lot more to do. Especially if you don't think you're winning the NBA Finals. And this Celtics team is not winning the NBA Finals.
They're not winning the NBA Finals. Not with the team in Golden State. We know they're going to win. But with that being said, the run that they make is vital. It's vital for the recruiting pitch to Absolutely. Kyrie Irving. It's vital for the recruiting pitch to any other free agents you may consider. And I think it's just important to keep your team on schedule. This isn't what you want after going a couple baskets away from the NBA Finals last year without Irving and Hayward. You need to show that you're ready and able to make a step. Now, the East is better. I understand. But if you don't come close, I mean, if they lose in a heartbreaking series in the Eastern Conference Finals, that would be bad. But I don't think we're going to kill them, especially if they don't end up in a seed where they get home court advantage. We'll see how that series goes. This has to be a situation where you ascend, or at least go right up to the line. And if you don't get there, you don't get there. But we have to think that you're still right there.
Yeah, if you lose in a 7-game series to the Toronto Raptors in the Eastern
lose
Conference
game
Finals,
seven in Toronto.
I'm actually not going to be upset with you, because Toronto finally did the right thing. Toronto has routinely been this team that takes advantage of you with their bench depth in the regular season, but when the rotations get shortened, they're a nothing team because they've taken away their own advantage over you and over other teams. This helped shorten that rotation for them, this move. So I like what they did more than the other teams in terms of trying to make sure they get to the NBA Finals to keep Kawhi Leonard. I like what they did. Mirotić, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not a bad addition to add a guy who can drop some threes for a team that needs shooters. Tobias Harris, good move for Philly. Those are good moves, but I like Gasol, Toronto better because they shortened their bench. They made themselves a more effective playoff unit. And the Celtics stood pat, but I thought they should have stood pat.
It's also going to be vital to see how Brad Stevens handles this because we need to see him step up and him perform better. There's just a lot of storylines swirling around this team that I can't wait to see unfold. The NBA playoffs is still 2 months away, so it's not like they don't have any time. But we'll see. This is a scenario where, like I said, you can have your issues in the playoffs and still figure it out. I just never dreamed. I never saw this coming. I never saw this kind of drama coming. When the Patriots, when Malcolm Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl, we kind of saw stuff happening there. There was storm clouds we could see. This was totally unforeseen.
We did see that he wasn't quite as good as he was previously.
Hayward?
Malcolm Butler.
Oh, okay.
Like, leading up to that, he wasn't quite as good.
Yeah.
But it was still a shock and to all of us, which is why it still gets talked about to this day.
Well, no, but I'm saying after that happened, we knew people weren't going to be, and then they lose the game. We knew that this was going to be an issue that maybe had to be addressed. Going into this season, who was talking about, well, they're going to, you know, we might have said Brad will have to find a way to use all these guys, but nobody thought that there'd be these kind of chemistry issues and talking about nobody's having fun and leadership concerns and this and that. That wasn't even on the table. So that took everybody by surprise. So I don't know. They've had it appears they have the talent to get to the finals. It would be a shame if they blow it because that's hard to do in the NBA. Usually if you have the talent, you get there.
Yeah, we've seen teams blow it though.
When? I can't think of an example of the team that had the talent that couldn't get there.
Oklahoma City Thunder didn't have the talent. They had Westbrook, they had Durant, and they had a really good Serge Ibaka and James Harden. Point.
They got there once, they could never win. That's a disaster. This is true.
You know, there's been other teams that I've looked at and said they have talent and didn't win at all. Some of them have made the finals. But, like, you know, look at that Lakers team that lost to the Pistons.
Yeah.
Kobe, Shaq.
Yeah.
Gary Payton, Karl Malone.
At the end of their careers.
Malone was still really good that year.
Yeah.
People forget how good Malone was for them when healthy. He was really, really good for them, especially at the beginning of the season. Payton, not as much. But you still had a prime Kobe and a not quite prime Shaq, but a still the most dominant player in the NBA at that
Shaq,
time.
Yeah, Shaq, he still went on to win another title.
Absolutely. So we've seen teams with talent lose. You're right. It doesn't happen all that often. Usually the most talented team wins in the NBA.
But just with the structure that was in place, Ainge, Stevens, good coach, I figured that the culture was sort of created there. Especially after last year, I didn't think it was going to be this hard for them. I thought that they would be in a position to thrive, and it would all be about basketball. I never dreamed we'd be talking about this kind of drama and hearing sound like that last night from Marcus Moore. I never dreamed that would happen. But clearly, somebody there, Brad, doesn't have the control of the team. And I can't believe we're asking the question, has he lost some control? Yeah. Has he lost the team?
Well,
that's in play.
He's got to figure out how to get the vets and the younger players together on the same page because it's obvious they're not. I mean, we've heard as much from Kyrie. We've heard that multiple times. That's what Brad needs to fix first and foremost, and then move on to the next step, fix the next thing. But you got to get them all on the same page because they're clearly not. If they're on the same page, they'd be having fun.
Yeah.
And we heard Marcus Morris. They're not having any fun, and they haven't had fun for a while. And this is a team just before that Lakers loss had ripped off five in a row.
Because their talent is still there. I wonder when they last had fun. Last year in the playoffs?
Yeah, well, what happened last year in the playoffs? Who didn't you have?
Right, Kyrie.
Yep.
Or Gordon Hayward. I don't know. It's hard to sit here and say I'm glad that the Celtics have Gordon Hayward right now.
Who would say that?
I don't know. I'm just saying, his resume is impressive. But when you think
about
the way he's playing, when you think about the strain that's put on the lineup and the rotation, when you think about the contract.
It's the contract.
Why would you want that guy right now? I mean,
nobody wants that guy right now.
Unfortunately.
You could never move it for two reasons. One, no one wants it. They won't give you anything for it.
Yeah.
B, it's a bad recruiting tool. Say we make this big splash in free agency. He gets hurt. We trade his ass. It's not good. I mean, look at...
Well, eventually you're going to have to get beyond that.
Oh, I know you are. But look what happened with Isaiah Thomas. There's still those lingering thoughts from other people.
Which are ridiculous, but you're right. They're still there.
Whether they're ridiculous or not doesn't matter.
If it's the father of the guy that you want to sign, it means something.
It absolutely means something. Absolutely means something. And it just furthers the narrative that you're not loyal. Whether that's true or not is irrelevant. The perception is the reality in this situation. So all of a sudden you have a broken Isaiah Thomas who does great things for your team. You deal him away regardless of what you got back for him, regardless, because people don't seem to care about that. You make a splash and sign Hayward. He gets hurt in the first 5 minutes of his first game as a Boston Celtic. It takes him too long to get back to where he was before. You deal him away. You don't show loyalty to him. Now you got two guys in the last couple of years that you're not loyal to in any way, shape, or form. People are going to look at that. Players are going to look at that and go, I don't feel secure here. I could get dealt at any time. I don't want to be traded. It's not a good look. So there's nothing you could do with Hayward other than hope and pray he gets back to 75% of what he was in Utah, because he's at 20%.
I don't think that's why there are issues within the locker room.
I think it's part of it.
What do you think?
I think it's part of it. If I'm Jaylen Brown and I'm looking at this guy and saying, he's hurt, he's trying to get back, he's not good right now, why is he playing over me? He should be getting less minutes. Let me play a little bit more. Let him work his way back in. Absolutely.
Then Danny Ainge needs to find a way to manage that, because that's right in the wheelhouse of the head coach. He should be able to find a way
Brad
to deal
Stevens,
with that.
You mean?
Brad Stevens, I'm sorry. Yes, Brad Stevens needs to find a way to handle that.
Yeah, absolutely, which is why we're not letting Brad off the hook.
No. He needs to find a way to manage Brown, manage Hayward, have a difficult conversation, an uncomfortable talk, hurt somebody's feelings maybe. You've got to find a way to get the team
feelings in
the best. Well, I don't know what's going on.
No, I know, but clearly it's hurt feelings, and that's the part of my yuck. So you're grown-ass men.
I mean, he needs to go in, I guess, and say, listen, everybody shut up. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to do this. This guy's going to play. You're going to sit. This is unacceptable. I don't care if he has to yell at the guy he coached in college. Mm-hmm. I don't care if he has to yell at a young guy that's sensitive. You got to get everybody on the same page. Tell them what's going to happen.
Sensitivity shouldn't be your problem.
Yeah. You got to have everybody fully aware of what's going to happen, because what's gone on is unacceptable. I don't know if you want to use that coming out of the break or what, but this can't keep going on. They're too talented. The window is too big, and it's too dicey. The situation is dicey. You've got Kyrie Irving potentially leaving. You've got free agents up there. The window isn't big. You've got to find a way to maximize this. It's all about now. These are what all these draft picks have been leading up towards. Now. You have to have it now. It's the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI.
It's Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
What are you trying to say, Matty? What are you trying to say?
That I'm an ass man.
All right. Back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
Mark's so confused right now.
It's like, no, wait, I like ass. Okay.
Oh. Save it, Matt.
Here's the thing. Brad Stevens, at this point, now he's coached well. He's been a good coach. But what's been going on recently clearly indicates what he's been doing recently this season during this stretch ain't working. So you got to change it up. If you've been a friendly players coach, well, that ain't working. You guys aren't responding, so you have to change it up. So he has to be ready and prepared to have a difficult conversation, an uncomfortable conversation, to get in somebody's face, to bench the guy that played for him in college, to do what's best for this team, and something has to change because this is not working, and we're to the point where this is just totally unacceptable. I want to ask you a question. Texter, what would you make of a comparison between the Celtics and the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Ton of talent. underperforming. Seemed like there's issues in the locker room. I think here's a major difference, though. I think the stars on the Celtics have a lot more faith in their head coach than the stars on the Steelers do. That would be one difference, but it's not a bad parallel.
No, unfortunately for the Celtics.
A team that's performing underneath their talent level. Yeah, it's a good comparison. That's a good point by the texter in terms of you got a ton of talent here. You got really good players here, which they do. They have all-stars versus Pro Bowlers, even though Pro Bowl means nothing. That's fairly fitting, except the difference is the Celtics will make the playoffs.
The NBA and the NFL, different animals. That's what's most frustrating, because getting the talent is the most difficult part of the process for NBA teams.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you have the good coach, you have a piece, you can become mired in mediocrity, and that's the worst place to be. But the Celtics seemingly have the talent to be right there, to be the number two team in the league. And to not convert on that talent because of some leadership issues and guys getting their feelings hurt, and you're playing this guy over this guy, and why am I getting the short end of the stick? That is unacceptable, and it has to change. Now, they have time. There's time. But they have to do something different. It is too far into the season where we're just going to ride it out and do what we do. You've got to change it up. You've got to do something different, whether that's giving Bill Belichick a call, like you said, going out on a field trip, team building, bonding, whatever, or just becoming a monster and really laying the wood.
I think Stevens needs to work with Irving on how to be an effective leader, because he's not.
Maybe
he's a bad leader.
What's the phrase? He doesn't confront him, he care-fronts him. I don't know. I mean, you don't need to know your players.
What's care-fronting?
Where you don't confront somebody in an angry, hostile way. You sort of do what you just said. You kind of talk to them. Help me help you. Let's figure this out together. It's more easy and amicable.
It's bumper bowling.
Well, yeah. But you're still confronting maybe a problem. There's an issue and you're the reason for it. But it's not in a hostile way.
Let me tell you why that's wrong. What's easier to ignore? Someone calmly, politely talking to you? Or someone getting in your face and yelling at you and giving you crap for what your shortcomings are.
The A is easier to...
Yeah, I can sit there and ignore that and go, whatever.
Well, that's the point of a coach. You got to know which buttons to push on which guys. The way this guy responds to criticism might not be the way that guy responds to criticism.
Yeah, but it's also the player's responsibility to perform and to respond. Not solely on the coach to get the best out of them. That is one of the functions of their job. But that's... You know, giving the players an out, essentially. Well, the coach didn't do the best to get the most out of him. It's also your individual responsibility to get the most out of you.
Well, you got to do something different. I mean, if he tries doing it the nice way and having a nice, you know, casual conversation with Kyrie Irving, care fronting Kyrie Irving, all right, let's try that. If that doesn't work, then you rip into him. I mean, you got to do so. You got to get the best out of this team. You're running out of time.
You are running out of time, but you're in a bad position here where you're like, I got to coddle this guy because I don't want to yell at him because I don't want to lose him because he'll be gone. You're in a bad position.
I think you have to take the chance.
I think you have to take the chance of trying to light a fire under his ass.
Piss him off and you're afraid you're going to lose him.
And hopefully Kyrie recognizes it and is smart enough to go, he doesn't hate me. He doesn't dislike me. He probably loves me to a certain extent and is trying to get more out of me than I've been giving out.
And if he's not that kind of guy,
I think he might be, or he might be the complete opposite and goes into a complete shell, and because he thinks he's smarter and better than everyone else.
Then I don't want him.
Yeah.
I don't want that guy on my team.
And
Brad Stevens shouldn't either.
Those guys aren't winners,
despite the talent, because you'll never win with him leading you or trying to lead you to the promised land. You'll never win with that as your leader, as your best player. So something has to change. They have a chance here in their next five games over the course of the next 2 weeks where you could maybe say this was a turning point if they play well.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. And we're going to hold our – I mean, I'm going to hold off my final judgments until the playoffs and give them a chance. This is just taking a lot longer than I thought.
Yeah, the good thing for the Celtics team, even though there's a couple of tough games coming up, when you look at the very end of the schedule, you go, okay, it's a lot easier for you there. You know, Hornets, Cavaliers, Nets who aren't that good, back-to-backs with the Heat, Magic, Wizards. Like, you can put yourself in a really good position at the end of the season, but you need to start doing it now. if you want to make sure that you have home court advantage in at least one round of the playoffs.
And I will say something, and honestly, I've been avoiding this topic.
Oh, boy.
Because I hate the fact that I have to even go here, but I have been hardcore on the Celtics. Don't worry about the early season struggles. They'll figure it out. It's fine. Don't worry. I have been on that this entire season.
Mm-hmm.
I am officially concerned now. I'm more concerned. I thought those early season struggles were just early season struggles and that they would be fine. Now I am concerned. I'm not getting off of anything that I've said. I'm still waiting. I'm still saying on the record, I'm not making any conclusions now. I'm going to wait till after the playoff run. But I am more worried. I am actually worried that this tension that is existing currently could derail them and ultimately prevent them from fulfilling their potential. I'm officially worried about that.
You should be.
I'm not sitting here saying, don't worry, they're going to be fine. This is just, you know, they'll work through it. I can't say that anymore. I'm worried. And I'm pissed.
They're fifth in the East.
In February.
They're fifth.
Yeah.
And this isn't, you don't have LeBron James on your team. You don't have the best basketball player on the planet on your team that no matter what the matchup is, you know you still have the best basketball player. You don't.
Well, that's the other problem.
Because you do not have the best basketball player in the basketball. You don't have the best basketball player in the East.
No.
You don't have the best basketball player in your own division.
Well, what were their playoff matchups right now if the season ended today?
Philly. Philly okay. In the first round. And then if you look at it and go, okay, then maybe you'd play Toronto in the second okay. round, and then
you could make the
Milwaukee
argument. You could make
Instagram
the argument, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They'll go through the entire playoff run
if they play those three teams.
If they play those teams, and never once have the best basketball player on the floor.
I would make that argument.
Philly, maybe you'd have the best guy.
Maybe
who's the best guy? Embiid.
Yes. Okay. And he's phenomenal.
Okay. So maybe Philly. But definitely not Milwaukee. Definitely
nope.
not in Toronto.
Nope.
And definitely not Golden State.
Well, yeah.
So. That's a
problem. You wouldn't have it against Golden State. You
no.
wouldn't have it against the Lakers. You wouldn't have it against the Rockets.
No.
There's plenty of teams where you won't have it.
No, but, you know, you hope that the other pieces would help you prevail in that scenario because the drop-off wouldn't be that great. You wouldn't have the best player, but Irving's impact to Kawhi Leonard's impact isn't that far off. So then you hope that Tatum and all these other pieces you had get you over the top. But then all of a sudden you're the fifth seed with no home court advantage to speak of, and you don't ever have the best player on the court, it becomes more daunting. Something has to change. Something has to change. And if this weekend didn't illustrate that, they all know now. They should have already known. They all know now. Booing them off the court. Lakers, when you have the Patriots there, just having won the championship, you give up 129 disgusting points. Disgusting effort.
And then you
effort.
Blow it against a crap-ass Clippers team.
Oh, disgusting. These games have to find a way to mean something to this group of team, to this group of players, and they have to find a way to play for 60 minutes or whatever a basketball game is. 60 minutes? 48 minutes.
12 minutes a quarter.
There it is. So they have to find a way to do it because this has been pathetic, and it's too late in the season for this garbage. You know, when you're 5 years old, enough with the binky. It's done. You got to get rid of it. You got to be an actual five-year-old. It's time to play like this team is capable of playing.
We getting into Mark's real life? No.
No. I have seen five-year-olds with binkies, and it's forget it. Like, it's pathetic. You're done. Not my kid.
No You're way. Done. You're five? You had a binky? Just call it a day. Just give up. Next 70 years?
Get rid of the blankie.
Not worth it.
I mean, you're just too old. It's too late in the season for these kinds of issues. Unacceptable. I mean, whatever it is, you rip up the binky in front of the kid if you have to. This is unacceptable at this point, and they have to find a way. Danny, anybody in that building, somebody has to do it. Has to do it. It's the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.